Welcome, everyone, to the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer and thereby the chair of this meeting, of this committee and of this meeting. And tonight we're going to be talking to each other about a whole bunch of things, and we'll see what comes up here. Okay, so the first thing we are required to do is to get the agenda up. All right. And okay, and I got it. Where is it? There it is. Okay, I move we adopt the following agenda. 1, call to order 7 p.m. 2, approval of agenda 20 minutes. 3, identified timekeeper 2 minutes. 4, excused absences 5 minutes. 5, minutes approval 5 minutes. 6, treasurer's report 10 minutes. 7, WBAI management's report on WBAI's finances, if people are here to do it, 60 minutes. 8, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. Actually, we should strike that. Okay. 8 isn't there because we've already set our next meeting date. Sorry, folks. Okay. 8 is now new business, and 9 is adjourned no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so that motion is on the floor right now. And, okay. Okay. So, that's on the floor. Is there any debate? Are there any questions or any discussion regarding the agenda, the motion to adopt this agenda?
We have multiple microphones open, Paul.
Yeah, here. Okay, folks, if you're on the call here, yes, if you're on the call here, please mute your phone if you're not talking right now. And if you're watching TV or something, definitely mute your phone. Okay. All right, so this is a motion on the floor to adopt this agenda. And again, it has a slight difference of I have removed set next meeting date because we've already got a next meeting date. All right, so that's the agenda. Anybody got anything to say about it? Any amendments? Any comments?
Well, this is Matt. Matt
is here.
Paul, I think that we change the hour for the general manager because I read what was sent to me.
Okay.
And maybe we should spend, an hour talking about that, if people saw it.
Okay, so you want to make an amendment?
If he's not going to come, we have things to look at.
We don't know yet. We don't know yet.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, why don't we just leave it where it is?
I am here. I am here.
Oh, he's here. Okay, we don't need
that. I have
been
here. Yes, thank you.
Oh, goody. Okay. All right. So we have the motion on the floor to adopt the agenda. And is there any more debate or any amendment or anything related to that right now? Hearing none. Is there any objection to going to a vote on this? Hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as read out and slightly corrected? Hearing none. The motion is passed without objection. And what we need to do right now is do the official roll call. And we'll do that right away fast. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Jack DePalma.
Here.
Martin Flynn.
Here.
Noel Jameson.
Here.
Denise Joyce. R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza. Carolyn McIntyre. All right, somebody's got a radio or TV on. Please mute that. Daryl McPherson.
Here.
Allie Murphy. Bertold Reimers. Serene Roberts. James Sagerton.
Here.
Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White.
Here.
M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay, that's 11, and that is a quorum. Okay. The next thing the next thing I got to do is make an official announcement that we need to do at the start of these meetings, and while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at three consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For the these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. So, is there anybody here who is not a member who would like to become a member and wants to give me their name for that purpose? I don't hear anyone. Is Carolyn Burton here? No. Okay. All right.
Arpo, you should ask for the general manager. You should ask in the role for the general manager.
Okay, Jeffrey, I can really, it's very hard to hear you.
Okay, but the point is you didn't ask the general manager when the roll call him up because he's an ex officio member of the committee.
No, he's not.
Okay. What?
Besides, an ex officio member is not called for the quorum. In any event, moving along here, the next thing we have to do is identify the timekeeper.
So, point of order, could we do something about the echo?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I don't know what we can do about it. It's annoying, and I wish it wouldn't happen. Maybe people who are not speaking, if people who are not speaking would mute themselves, maybe that would work out. Maybe it works. Okay. Right now we are at identify timekeeper. Somebody want to be timekeeper?
I'll be timekeeper.
Okay. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is the timekeeper. Okay, the next item on the agenda is excused absences. I didn't see any. I will check right now, and we'll see if we've got ourselves any requests for excused absences. And they have to come in before 7. So let me look at the email. See what we got. Okay. No, apparently nobody has requested an excused absence. So we'll just say there are none and move on. Okay, the next item on the agenda is minutes approval. MK, you have the floor.
Well, it took me, I had a lot going on, so it took me a bit of time to get around to them. But I did send the minutes for the 7:17 meeting and the August 14th meeting. For the 14th? No. 21. August 21 meeting. And they're in your inbox. But I only sent it this afternoon, so it's up to you what you want to do about that.
No, it's up to you. Do you want to make a motion to pass these or wait, or what do you want to do?
Well, we can make a motion to accept the minutes that you received this afternoon.
Okay, say what they are again, the minutes of what?
July 17th and August 21st.
So the motion is to approve the minutes of the July 17th and August 21st meeting. Okay. Is there any debate on that motion? Any comment or anything on the motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to a vote on this motion? Okay. Is there any objection to approving the minutes of July 17th and August 21st, 2024?
Yeah, actually, there's a typo.
Okay, hold on. All right, where's what's the typo?
Drive. It's page 4 of the 717 meeting minutes. It says Allegiance is an open source website. Allegiance is a commercial product.
Ah, okay. Kay, will you make that correction in there?
Yeah, I was quoting someone who said that, but I'll change it if it's not direct.
You got to watch out what people say. All right. With that correction, is there any objection to approving the minutes of July 17th and August 21st? Hearing none. We that motion. Okay, somebody's feeling ill there. That motion is approved, and we've adopted the minutes. And next is the treasurer's report, and that's me. And so let me get to that. All right. Okay. We had a meeting, of course, on August 21st, and this is only 2 weeks later, so we've only had one NFC meeting since then. At the August 27th NFC meeting, we ended up spending a lot of the meeting talking about central services fees and the formula for them. People managed to bring the KPFA business manager onto the meeting, and she proceeded to present a wildly inaccurate history of central services formulas over the years. She maintained that the central services formula had not been changed in around 9 or 10 years. I pointed out that I already sent the two most recent central services formula motions to the NFC, and I noted that those had been passed in 2021 and 2023, and I read the most recent one to the committee. At one point, I noted that the NFC had had a conversation with the KPFA business manager about her using an obsolete central services formula in preparing a KPFA budget a few years ago. And last week at that at the August 27th meeting, the KPFA business manager denied that that had ever happened. At one point, she made the assertion that no one had told her that the central services formula had changed in the past 9 or 10 years. And so she said she wasn't responsible for knowing about it. And that would have meant that no one in KPFA management over those years, no KPFA director in those years, and no KPFA treasurer had informed her of the changes in the central services formula for all those years. And I wasn't the only person who, saw her assertion as bizarre. The KPFA business manager then blamed the NFC for not telling her. Nobody at KPFA is at fault for that, but the NFC was. She also went on about WBAI getting lower central services fees that she didn't like. Some NFC members were saying that maybe the PNB never passed any of the central services motions. And I have to look up the PNB minutes to see if I can find any motions that establish the newer central services formula from the PNB. So over the past decade, I got to comb through some old PNB minutes that I hope I can find. It's notable that some people in the meeting spoke as if I hadn't read the 2023 central services formula motion. And we'll be hearing more from the KPFA business manager at the next NFC meeting, according to the chair, who says that she's so knowledgeable. And so, yeah, this is the chair, by the way, is also from KPFA. We then went into an executive session, and the report out from that was, quote, the NFC met an executive session to discuss financial, personnel, and contractual matters of a confidential nature, unquote. And this is one of the craziest NFC meetings I've ever attended, with denial, make-believe history, and strange things happening. And I will also note that, in my opinion, there's some stuff being declared confidential that doesn't sit well with me. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for this coming Tuesday, September 10th, 2024, at 8:30 p.m., and that is the Treasurer's Report. Are there any comments or questions on the Treasurer's Report? If there are none, we'll go to the next gen- Jack, go ahead.
The way you characterized that meeting, has it been getting worse, or is this like a one-off?
This was a very odd meeting, and I don't know that it's a one-off, because I believe the same person is going to be invited to share her great knowledge with us at the next meeting. Maybe for a number of meetings. I don't know. It's just very strange that, as I said, it's very strange that she blames the NFC when nobody at KPFA allegedly ever told her over 9 or 10 years that there had been changes. Especially interesting is the fact that somebody from KPFA spearheaded the 2023 changes to the central services formula. So, yeah, there's that.
Is this a new strategy, or is it really they're talking incredibly as if they are credible? I don't know how to put words to it.
Well, that's a question, isn't it? Is this some kind of a strategy? Is there a reason why people want to deny that the central services are there, and why this person is being promoted as so knowledgeable about it, when she clearly said things that are at variance with reality? I don't know what's going on at KPFA, but there you have it. That's what happened there. Okay?
Our fault, James, for the sack.
Okay, James Sackerton. Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to say that I'm quite sure that those central services formula changes were passed by the PNB. And I also want to suggest that it is up to management in this the person of the executive director, when the PNB passes policy changes like that, to pass that along to the employees. So I would agree with you that the directors should have been informing the employees at KPFA, but also I think Pacifica management and the person of the ED should have also done that.
Well, I will note that other stations certainly appear to have understood that the central services formula had changed. So, yeah. Okay, so is there anybody else who has
a comeback on that?
James, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that when we were dealing with the national business manager, when she was the business manager at KPFT, told a similar story that her knowledge of central services thing had not changed in about 10 years, when in fact it had changed at least twice in that period of time. So I think it's not, also it's a failure of the directors, but it's also a failure of management under several different administrations to pass this information in a way that it's received and understood by the employees, unless there's something else going on.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's very strange to hear some of these things. Okay. Is there anybody else who wants to ask a question or make a comment on the treasurer's report?
Yes,
hearing
our Paul. This, Tara or Paul?
Yes, who's this?
Bob Henley. Bob Henley.
Okay.
I just wanted
to
ask you, because you have this background. So my understanding is it's 15% of revenue is what we're talking about here in terms of central services?
Basically, yes. I can let me see. I have that motion here somewhere. Well, God, there's so many here. Finding it immediately may be difficult,
okay.
But here it is.
Ballpark. All right.
Okay. Oh, that's not the right file. Okay, one second. I had it, and it slipped away. Central Services Motions. Okay. Oh, God, I have them going back for years. Okay, let me, you know what, I have it faster and easier in an email that I sent out.
Oh, that's okay. I just thought you had, you sound like you were very conversant with it, and I wanted to take advantage of it.
Yes, basically, but I prefer in these kinds of cases to actually read the motion itself, because that way we don't have issues that can sometimes pop up with these things. So I think it's...
Paul?
Yeah. Who's this?
Isn't it also true that if the station can pay the central services, there was also a discount if we couldn't pay the central services, right?
It's conditional. Yes. And can be changed at another point in time. Okay. Let me find... Okay. Looking too far away. Let me just find this particular thing here. You know, when you're looking for something, it can just be so tough.
Paul, may I say something while you're looking?
Go ahead while I'm looking.
Yeah, the formula is 15%, but I would appreciate it if you would actually find it and read it to be sure. The conditional part is 8% for stations that are found to be distressed by the PNB. So the PNB has to vote to make that provision take in.
Okay. Here we go. All right, here's the most recent one. The NSC recommends that the PNB pass the following motion. Quote, that the central services formula shall be 15% of total station revenue, all inclusive, calculated every month on a 6-month rolling average, starting 9 months before the current month, with the exception of any station suffering acute financial distress, as determined by the PNB, for which central services shall be 8% for a period of no more than 1 year, with the remaining 7% to be accrued, unquote. So there it is. That's the latest one, and that's what's supposed to be in effect now, since James tells us that, in fact, the PNB did pass that one. And to my knowledge, the PNB has passed others before that, too. In fact, the 2021 one we've discussed in the NFC. So those two certainly passed, and I think some others before that passed, because about maybe 10 or 11 years ago, there was a rather complicated central services formula that, you know, referred to years past and how many years, and, you know, you average it out and you drop one over. Oh, boy. And it was rather a bother for people to try and keep track of. So anyway, I just read that, and so now everybody here knows what the current one is. At least everybody here knows what the current formula is. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions or comments on the Treasurer's report? Mr. Timekeeper, how are we doing on time for the Treasurer's report? Oh, Mr. Timekeeper. All right.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's well past. Okay. If nobody wants to hear any more of this, we will go on to the next item, which is the WBAI General Manager's report on WBAI's finances. Mr. Henley, you have the floor.
Yes, thanks very much for your patience during the summer. We were engaged in the convention coverage, and so I did send some things today, which you can look at. It is funny, that reverb coming back is a bit distractive, but we'll get through. It's kind of like what happens on the radio sometimes when we get a reverb back. So you see, in 2023, January through December, we had $1,026,256.30. That was the whole of last year. And in the comparison of January through August 2023, you can see that we were at $681,226.17.
Mr. Henley, could you, is this the one that's in the text of an email?
Yes.
Or is it, it's not a file? Okay, so it's in the text of an email.
Right.
And okay, and the
point of order, could we make the same request that people mute so that we can get rid of the echo?
Okay, could people mute if at all possible so that we don't have an echo? If you're not speaking right now, please mute the phone so we don't have the echo. And I will note the email, as I forwarded it, says the subject of it is WBAI Local Finance Committee membership information for September 4th, 2024, and I sent it out at 6:20 p.m. Eastern.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman. Can I continue and just go back?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So 2023, January through December, we did $1,026,256.30. If you look at the year-to-date, 2023, January through August, we had $681,226.17. At this point, we're at $899,474.13. That includes restricted money, $18,850.42 bequest, $222,316.50, another bequest, and major union donations that are included here are $32,500 in July from the Transport Workers Union of America, and in August, $50,000 from the American Federation of Government Employees. Pending is $14,000 from 32BJSEIU, and you can see AFGE dropped in below that, but it's for the $50,000. There's about another $25,000 to $30,000 that is from other unions that is in denomination of anywhere from $500 to $6,500. I'm preparing a chart with all of that with the specific unions. But I did want to get you this information today. And then also I did have good news that we have received another $20,000 commitment to get us from to cover news and information, particularly focused on issues related to labor, from TWU that is not in this report. And so what you see here is that also I did send you information about BA Buddies, which shows that we did take a hit after Mr. Lopate left, but we've been kind of holding our own. And he is returning, by the way, starting on the 8th. That was a one-hour program on Sunday. One of the challenges with this is that we had to unwind a significant list of grievances from AFTRA, which included issues of having individuals who were acting in capacities that were covered by the collective bargaining agreement without notifying the union, and the way that we had terminated Mr. Lopate violated that collective bargaining agreement that Pacifica is a party to. We are resolving that and hopefully moving forward. Also, we have appointed Keziah Glow as the interim program director, and we've been working on having a, actually she has developed an internship program that is already has participants in it. And so what we're basically trying to do here is turn the corner. As you know, there's a tremendous responsibility that we have with trying to comply with the consent decree. I know that it's very controversial. I know that the people that are on this board are of the opinion that Pacifica should have fought this, but the reality is that we have gotten the two-year extension for the license, and we have to live in the world that is rather than the one that we wish existed. And so that includes evaluating all the programming that is in place, and that includes, you know, every program to see if it is generating the audience and community support that's required. And this includes having a difficult conversation where we at some point are going to have a matrix that requires each show at least be able to come up with a threshold of $10,000 in the calendar year in the way of BAI buddies or some kind of sustaining sponsorship, which we are, because I and I are both willing to work on with those individuals. But we're in this process of trying to rebuild the audience at the same time as recreate and refound the way that we fund ourselves. Now, I will say that this money that is coming in from the unions does not require that we send anything out in the way of merchandise. And when you look at these numbers in the past, it's very important to also consider that getting those numbers incurred a tremendous amount of debt, which still hangs over the enterprise, both in terms of actual dollars that we owe in the form of ACD funding, in the form of back rent, in the form of unfulfilled premiums. And we've also sent you a report that deals with Chris LaPuzza's yeoman efforts to begin to shovel against that tide. So I would suggest that we are in a situation where it's an open question. I could continue to get this money. I know that you guys don't like me. I know that you'd like me to be gone. But I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm glad to continue to get the sustaining contributions and buy us time to rebuild the audience and the physical plant and then get on my merry way. So that's, I will take questions from you. I know Kazaya has something she'd like to share, but that's where we are.
Okay. All right. Let the interim program director say what she has to say on this, and then we'll go to questions. Okay?
Okay, thank you. My name is Kazaya. Hello. And it's a pleasure to be on the call this evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen. So Bob discussed and mentioned some interesting things that we've been working with. Number one, we started with, in other words, triage. So what we were doing was going through meeting with producers and hosts. I still haven't gotten to every single producer and host, but I have been able to send out messages in which they can begin to do self-evaluations on their own shows and figure out different ways in which they can be more creative and finding ways to sustain their shows. So the idea is that what Bob has created using the local unions as a tool to bring in, generate money, that's what each show can do. They can go into their genre and say, okay, if I deal with education, then I can reach out to institutions that will support and want to keep that show on the air. And I think this is a blueprint. It's very different. And of course, it is always scary. It is never fun doing anything different. I get that. But sometimes we have to realize that when certain things phase out, it's time to start a new and fresh way of looking at things. So if each show could say in their own genre, for example, if you are in theater, we mentioned Lee Strasberg or different theater companies, reaching out to them to support your show. WBAI has a very, very extensive history within New York City and the country and the world beyond. So the work that each producer is doing is significant because many times they're activists. Many times they're working in the community. They're actually doing the work. And these are legacy shows that have been around for a long time. So people actually know these hosts and producers. So they can reach out to their community and different institutions to say, hey, you can support this show. Another idea that we created is the internship program. And I know that WBAI has always been volunteering internship has always been a really big deal. What we want to do is build a bridge between young adults or young people who don't have access to radio. That's really important because if you want to get an internship at CNN, you really got to know somebody. You just can't walk up to CNN. You could be the smartest young person, but if you don't have that, your parent doesn't know the right person, you're not getting in. As somebody who's had access to radio since I was about 13 because of my father and my family, I was able to grow up in radio, and I understand radio and remoting, broadcasting on a very high level because my father was the chief engineer for Harlem Community Radio. So I've seen the new radio station actually built. I was a part of the building, the company that we had. I was actually the president of that company. So I've been involved in radio in many different facets. Not everybody has that opportunity, and this is what we want to bring. So Bob was able to speak to someone from the mayor's office, which is head of the media and public relations, and there is grant money that is available for internship programs. We're developing a newsroom for these young people to begin their careers in journalism. We already have three young people, one who is working on a story that has to do with those held on Guantanamo Bay. We have a young lady who is in media and communications, and another young man who is interested in technical, and he's from Radio Free Brooklyn. There is a host of young people that we are waiting and ready to teach and build this bridge. Another thing that we've been working on, I did say we were doing the communication with the host, but when you go through and you sit and you talk to different hosts, that's a process. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes hosts and producers may feel very tied to the way that they've been doing things, and sometimes they need mentorship and how you can change. Oh, am I going too long?
No, I think somebody has something, a radio or TV on, we're bleeding through. Will people who are not speaking at this point in time please mute their phones? Okay, continue, please.
I'll be brief. So when you're a new interim program director, right, you have to kind of build trust. You have to walk into the situation and first build that relationship to say, you know what, I want to help build your show, right? I want to find ways to make this a better show, and I don't want to say, okay, this doesn't work, or throw it away, or don't do it like this. And then we need to listen to where it has been working. Things have been good, and where things could be better. So this last month has been a lot of that. And then also, lastly, our engineers, our board operators, they are so important. And I think sometimes we forget about how important board operators are, because without the board operator, no one's going to hear your show, right? You can have the best show, but if you don't have the tech there present in a healthy state, in a healthy mind, because they were able to get rest and they weren't working these crazy doubles, you know, you have a patient person ready to listen. So we have really been trying to develop, set new guidelines, you know, just working on building a better program. We have seven new shows in the can. I'm really excited about it. We have a publicist who actually has a show on, who's working with us. We're going to get these out. Of course, Leonard is coming back. There are a few people that are coming back. But there are new shows. We have house music. We already have K-Wave, which is on Saturday night. But it's bringing in an audience that we may have lost because there was house music before. And also keeping our older audience who has the wisdom and has, you know, they know about all of the things that happened, but now bridging the gap between our younger audience. Yesterday I saw something so beautiful. There, Ariana, who's on Independent, she was sitting at the table, she was on her computer, I was on my computer, and the intern, her second day, was on her computer. They began to talk, and the intern said, "Are you the youngest person on this station?" And she looked at, Ariana looked at me and said, I said, "I don't know, you may be one of the younger people," because she's 20-something. And so when she got on the show, she said, "I am one of the youngest people here on this station." And she was so proud of it. And the intern said, "You know what? You should do a spotlight on her and the young people here." And I said, "That's a great idea." Just using these ideas and building the bridge between our elders and our youth is where the power is at. That's where the energy is at. That's where the synchronicity is at. And when we build those bridges and we get our listeners back, that's where the money's at. That's where we can ask for buddies. We can't ask for buddies from the same 20 people, right? But what we can do is get more listeners and then ask them for buddies. I thank you so much for listening to me, and I yield the floor.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Paul, I would like to just add a little bit, if I may.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sure. So one of the challenges we have is that we, at one point, back in 2013, 2014, had like over 20 employees, union employees. In the period of time of scarcity, we cut engineering and we cut everything. And so what's happening now is that engineers are in a situation where they are, that we actually need an additional 1.5 positions to do what we're doing now. You cannot cover 24/7 with four engineers without, especially now, for instance, we have COVID is back, and that's another issue we have to work on. And there has to be a relief engineer and someone to do the editing for the programming, because now what's happening is engineers who are supposed to be maintaining air quality or taking calls and maintaining surveillance of the live air are actually editing the next cycle of programming for the next shift, which is on its face a straight up violation of the contract. Now, What we're trying to do, and we had a situation where we had an incidental workforce, people that have done such important work, Wee Jacobs, Catherine Davis, Paul DiRienzo from time to time, Ken Gale, filled in, but that's really no way to run a radio station and to have the people that are the professionals that are responsible for air quality actually doing two and sometimes three jobs in a shift. It burns them out. And it's not professional.
Okay. Yes, well, thank you all. Let me say here first, I have some questions here. And one of them is regarding the... okay, I want to say first, we have... Let me go to it. From your figures, I have looked at... FY23 so far, and you're going from October through August, and I have not about 935 and a half grand for the 11 months, and so that means you would have.
No, we're in the ninth month of the year. Right now.
I'm talking about the fiscal year of Pacifica. Pacifica's fiscal year goes from October 1st to September 30th.
Okay.
So we're still in FY24 right now, but we are rapidly approaching FY25. And we'll get to that in that's another issue. So anyway, so we I added these things up, and we've got about 935 and a half for the first 11 months of FY24. So you figure if we go at the same rate, say if we go about 9% of that, yeah, we're going to be close to a million, but I don't think we hit a million. So that would be what the revenue is. Now, another issue is from the unions, you're naming some amounts of money we're getting, and we're curious regarding how much of that goes to BAI. Is all of that going to BAI, or some of it getting split?
The thing about this is that BAI exists as a cultural and political entity. As a financial and legal reality, it is all Pacifica. That's a fiscal fact.
Yes, we understand that.
Yeah. So,
but the thing is,
again, this, I understand, but you're trying to split the baby here, and it's all a matter of supporting Pacifica, of which. WBAI is a DBA of. Is that not the actual legal status of it?
All right. My point being, if BAI doesn't get money directly, we don't get the money. And there are, shall we say, people in Pacifica who are very definitely opposed to Pacifica sending any money to WBAI. I think you might have heard me talking about the discussion at the NFC last week, and people are not pleased with us. So,
can I answer your question?
Chair, can I make a point of order, please?
Point of order, what?
Yeah, Chair, I wish you would, I realize you can fend for yourself in this matter, but I wish you would have one speaker at a time.
Yes, that would
be good.
It's no good
for people cutting each other off and speaking.
I agree. Okay. And also, we have this echo, which typically means somebody's phone is doing that. And would everybody who is not speaking, please mute your phone, and we can get rid of the echo, maybe. I can hope. In any event, my point being that... WBAI, we need to know how much of that comes to BAI, because if when we go to the NFC and we go there with a budget, we can't show an actual of all that money if all that money isn't coming to WBAI. If that money's going to Pacifica, it's very nice that BAI is a part of Pacifica, but when we show the actuals, how much of that money is going to show up for BAI. And I guess you'll be going to the NFC with us again sometime soon, and I think you will see that process in motion then. So that's why I have the question. This money's coming in from the unions, and we all want to know how much of that is going to BAI and how much of that is going to Pacifica.
May I answer now?
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to skip right past the part of where you thank me for being a good fundraiser.
No, what we're going to do is try to make sure people are accountable for the very important stuff that's going on. We're not thanking each other yet. What we're doing is saying we have some questions we've been asking for a couple of months now, and we're really eager to find out, because it's an important point. How much is Pacifica getting? How much is BAI getting? Because they are not, mixing back and forth. If you know.
If I'm observing, I don't. Mr. White will be upset if I don't observe the 30-second Quaker silence.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not get into stuff like that. If you have an answer, we'd love to hear it.
I know, but I don't think you really would.
Well, why wouldn't we? Because we're not getting any of it. It's all going to Pacific.
No, because you're getting all of it right now.
Okay, so all that union money you listed, that's all going to BAI, per se. Okay, good. Another question I have is, you mentioned, Ms. Glow mentioned internships and going to try and get grants for the internships. Is that grant going to be one that requires that we show an audit?
No.
Oh, good.
Because
we ain't got any. Okay. All right. And finally, I just want to say, the FY25 budget is supposedly going to be churning through the NFC in September. And I don't know how that's going to work because we don't have much going on here. So how do you see the budget coming to us? Are you preparing it, or is the National Office preparing it?
I'm observing the silence so that we can
have... Oh, please don't. Just answer, please.
No, I will. I am working with the Executive Director and Markeisha, and we are developing a budget, and it will be turned in as required by the bylaws.
When do you think you'll have it so that the NFC, so that this committee can look at it? Because it has to go through this committee, then go to the LSB, and then it goes to the NFC. So.
Okay. Well, so when would you like it?
Well, our next meeting is on the 18th, September 18th. If we could get it then, that would probably be good. We'll never make it for September. But if we could get it on the 18th, we can talk about it. And then on, what is it, October 9th, there's an LSB meeting. And, we can move it through there. Unless the NFC decides it wants to take it away from us, in which case it'll be an interesting time. So do you think you can get it? You can get the first draft of it to us by the 18th?
Well, I will.
Preferably before the 18th.
I will confer with the people that I report to and get back to you, Mr. Martin.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Does anybody else have any more questions?
Down for the sack. Chang for the sack.
Okay, let's take a sack. I have Daryl.
Down for the sack.
Michael White for the sack.
Okay. Joan White. Okay, what I have is Daryl McPherson, James Sagerton, Joan D. Lorenzo, Michael D.D. White. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with that.
Yes,
crowd.
Yes, sorry. Paul, it's Carolyn McIntyre. You can add me to the stack, and I'm present. Thank you.
Okay, McIntyre is here. Oh, let me ask. Let me do this piece of business I got to do. Is Carolyn Burden here? Okay. All right. Daryl McPherson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. May I call you Bob?
Sure.
Okay.
How
do we mend the feeling that I have here that Bob feels like he's under attack? And then moving on from that, what is the view of the minimum budget that you think needs to be raised by WBAI to keep on track of its rebuilding?
So I would say that I would say $1.5 to $1.6 million, and so that would be a $300,000 increase over what has been in the rough figures in the past. I know that that is a reach, and it's an open question whether I can sustain the kind of donations. Because we do need to see VA buddies come back. This can't be all on myself, although I'm glad to take it on as best I can. But there is a need to certainly, I'd say, we're at a $22,000, $23,000 a month VA buddy level, which gets us to a little over $250,000, under $300,000, and that's, we really need to see it above a 50-55% threshold to justify ourselves as a community radio station. If we can't get in this era of all that's happening in 2024 and what is portends to happen in 2025, then we really should hang it up. So I am now trying to, with Keziah, we're talking about getting unions to engage in supporting, particularly healthcare unions, where we really have done important work. We're the only people right now that are carrying a consistent conversation about the healthcare crisis in New York City. And so that has to translate into nurses and doctors and orderlies and all of these people seeing the station as a supporter. And it's an open question whether we'll work or not. And I'm just saying we're giving it our best. We're keeping our head above water. We, thanks to Keziah's husband, we solved a major physical problem at the plant where we are. We had water pouring through the ceiling from the air conditioner. The current landlord wasn't able to get their arms around the problem. We resolved it. We're doing the best we can to try to deal with the degradation to the facility that happened during COVID. Like every other institution, we were dealing with the fall off of what happened during the pandemic. And we are now trying to rebuild this organization. We'd sure like to do it with your help, but we also understand that there's longstanding grievances that we may not be party to, that we may not be aware of, that go back and have their own history. But we are doing the very best we can right now and bringing new money that was never here before to help us with this transition.
With regard to the unions, can I ask, with regard to the unions, is the union leadership making the union membership aware of how WBAI is supporting the cause? And more important than that, is anybody targeting the parade to see, to make sure, oh, the dreaded flyer, to make sure that membership understands that they have a voice at BAI in which they can actually participate? Because
We had the Grand Marshal John Murphy on the, who's on the executive committee of the plumbers that represents 350,000 plumbers across the country. He's the Grand Marshal. We had him on Monday. We'll certainly be there at the parade. One of the big editorial challenges is that unions are, like any other human enterprise, has issues of corruption and has issues where unions, bosses, diversity, there's all kinds of issues, corruption, and I've been covering this for 30 years. And so one of the most important things is that people understand that this has not changed our editorial perspective. Case in point, the largest unions betrayed their retirees. The 275,000 retirees from New York City were promised free health care and unimpeded Medicare. We have become a focal point for those people who didn't have a friend in the labor movement, not one. And we provided them a program and have benefited from the fact that the senior energy that is now animated, they had to organize once again to save their health care. And so that is directly contradictory to what DC 37 wants, directly contradicting the UFT. They just had an election where the retirees prevailed. So we are taking on the issues that are getting in the way of working people being able to organize. And at the same time, also attracting unions are not afraid of creating a platform for this discourse.
Okay. With regard to Keziah, may I call you Keziah, reaching out to the producers, could you ask them to fill out the program page? Because I think a very important tool here is being missed. Every listener, when they hear a show, and I really want to applaud the programming that's being shared by WBAI, especially for people my age, which is 75, they need to be sharing those programs with people around the country. And the way that we do that is we forward the program from the archive. And it would just make it so much easier to, and BAI has one of the best situations with regard to archiving programs very quickly and making them accessible very quickly. Is there any way that we can get the producers to fill out the program page so that the individual forwarding doesn't have to do it?
Thank you for that question. And that is actually interesting because I just had a meeting with Chris, who was our IT person today. And we're basically doing inventory. So that was one of the issues that came up because we said, okay, for example, this is what we were talking about. If we rebroadcast, right, and the person just turns on the show and they don't know that it was a rebroadcast, right? When they go in and look for the show, number one, and we were doing this today, most of the shows are empty. And so that's a problem. And also we were saying we wanted to be able to add a search tool, this was a suggestion today, to that archive, to that page, program page, so maybe you can actually type in a keyword because you may not know that this is a rebroadcast and be able to find the show. So to your point, we're trying to find ways to streamline and make it user-friendly. Right before the call, I was on with a listener, and he was trying to use the BAI Buddies on the website. And I walked him, I had him walk me through each step and then screenshot where he got stuck. And so these are the things that will stop someone from sharing that show that was so great and touched my heart. But I'm a New Yorker, and I'm about to run the train, so I don't have time to stand here and try to figure this out. So we want to make things more streamlined. We want to make things make sense. And when they make sense, they make dollars, right? Because you can actually send it to five people, and it literally will get there. They can listen to it, and they know what was the name of it, who was the guest, and so on. So to your point, we were literally working on this today, and I agree with you. These type of things are very, very important. We don't have to have an elaborate website with bells and whistles. What we do need is to have things that work. So you need to be able to toggle. You need to be able to find historical information. And that's where the jewel is, because one thing that's great is that you can actually download shows on WBAI. It's free, you know, and that's a service. So we want to make sure that we're giving a premium service to our listeners. I hope that answers the question I yield the floor.
Yes, I would also just like to say, Mr. McIntyre, I would like to say, by the way, Keziah, that when they make sense to make dollars, you don't mind if I appropriate that. The other thing that we are in the process of doing is creating a new social contract with producers. And this is something that we're working on because we have been through this traumatic event collectively called the pandemic. And during that period of time, we were very desperate for programming, and we were very grateful for MP3s, whatever we get. And as a consequence, we had a, you know, Mr. Chairman, not everybody's as organized as you are with your program. We get bits and pieces of stuff. And during the pandemic, our staff struggled to put that together. Well, now we have to have a reset and make sure that there's, for instance, you can't dump a complicated program with moving parts 15 minutes before the show. And there's also a certain level of support that producers should be able to get. We can't say to them, hey, you've got to come up with X amount of money without helping them develop a marketing plan. And similarly, what kind of commitment do we need from them if they're going to be off? I mean, we have this kind of thing where people just drop off and say just before their show's going to be on that they're going to be off. And by the same token, we also have to do a better job with notice preemption. So we have to have a reset, and there's got to be a living, breathing document that we can refer to, and even a workbook that people get once they become a producer that lays all this out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we've started creating that.
Okay. Are people done? Because we've got some
more people.
No, but
I'm going to stop.
Okay. All right. The next person on the stack is James Sagerton. James Sagerton, you have the floor. Oh, by the way, people may notice that the echo is gone. And, yeah, I looked around and I found whose phone was doing that. So, all right. James Sagerton, are you here?
Was that an admission or a poll?
An admission? No, I found who was doing it. I muted them. James, are you there?
I am.
All right, go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay, I hope I'll be able to ask, you know, a couple of interrelated questions as has been done here. So, Bob, you touched on this, and I don't know if you have anything more to say about it, but we know, for example, that bequests are not budgetable. You can't budget your anticipation of getting bequests. So we've had a huge bequest, $222,000, which is undoubtedly helping carry us over in this transition. But, of course, we don't know when or if we're going to get future bequests. Sometimes they're far and few between. Mostly they're far and few between. And so if you back out the bequest and then you see that we, you know, our daily fundraising based on the thank you gifts has basically flatlined, and we are we're bringing in the union donations, the question becomes, how sustainable is that? Are these one-time gifts? Are these are these going to be long-range relationships? I'm sure we hope they will be. But and are they connected to any contracts, any understandings, agreements, that sort of thing? And if so, I presume that the directors will be able to see those.
So let's I'm aware of the bequest, and there's also an $18,000 and change bequest that came in, and that was, as so often, there's such an important story to that, because the woman who was trying to give us the money had said she had called for several months and not been able to get through, and we managed to make it happen by being physically present. She told us, the lawyer said the next call was to turn it over as unclaimed funds to the state of New York. So there is something, yes, it's true, that these things come in and you can't, they are not something that you can budget forward. They, however, are, they do exist in the real world, and they're cash. And the key question here is, I think that we need to, in this case, the person that gave the $18,000, the story behind that, the woman is willing to come in and record the story of how it came to be that she was the executor of her beloved art teacher who died at 85, who was an independent thinker, taught up in Valley Stream, and was a belly dancer, and her first job was with BAI over 40 years ago. And so she is willing to make a cart. And so while it's true that we can't anticipate this revenue, we can certainly encourage it. So that's one. Number two, about the way that these union things have worked. And, of course, we do have what ends up happening is I send a letter of agreement, which is then has on it the Pacificus tax-free number, and we send a W-9 that goes to the union. And in that, there is language about how it's to be referred to on the air, which has been cleared by John Amella. And then that is the record, and that you, most of these are going to lapse at the end of the year. So they were for that period of time, like a 6 months. Now, I will say that I've had success in the case of, because remember, I started this before the changeover of management. So this was something I was doing because I thought it was morally wrong to have prime drive time in the morning because I didn't think BAI owed Bob Henley an hour on the air. And so I thought that I should use my contacts and raise close to $20,000 for a six-month live read that happened in 2023. That's how this all started. And all those entities have renewed. Now, the question is, this gets into another aspect of this, is one of the things that the unions were, like AFG that dropped $50,000, what was attractive to them was the idea that BAI was taking the intellectual lead and creating national programming in the form of Reverend Barber's five-hour remote broadcast and the convention, which engaged other stations and got this kind of progressive pro-labor message out through the prism of the conventions. And so that is something that is attractive to unions where they're willing to make an institutional commitment. And it's an open question whether or not it's something that will be further noticed. That's why I work as hard as I do.
Okay, James. Is that...
I'll follow up on that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Of course, we did hear about the history of the back and forth between the prior management and yourself about trying to get some sponsorship for the program, and we do know that there now a flurry of support has come in, which we. You know, we wish could have happened sooner, but, you know, it is what it is. The question then becomes one of not only sustainability, I guess, but of, you know, how many more of these can we possibly reach out and obtain? And also we have a policy in Pacifica, which is specific shows are not supposed to be sponsored. When donations are made, they're supposed to be made to the general fund, and then, you know, they can be made in the name of a show, but they're not supposed to be dedicated to that show. That's a policy that we can change. I don't think that's there's any law behind that policy. It's just a policy that we adopted with the idea that sponsorship can create some kind of corruption, like advertising. But what do you think of that? Do we need to change that policy about specific shows having specific sponsors?
I think that there's kind of been a contradiction between, even under the prior administration, that policy and the real world. So, yeah, your point, I take your point, but there has been a kind of, they were fully aware of, I mean, the prior management and the Pacifica was, they observed that on Mondays and Tuesdays until, because I took over that slot, that those were programs that were supported because I called someone. And so, it was always good that the policy matched the reality. I think that it would be, I think your point's well taken in that it would be better to have it be that they support, and I just wrote one today prospectively, for supporting WBI's public affairs and health care coverage. Like, it would be better, I think, to have it across the platform. I mean, one of the things we really want to do is create something called the Andrea Sears Newsroom. And we want to have this, like, 5 to 6 p.m., news broadcast put together by young people that I believe could really help to this point that Keziah was making, was engaging these younger people. And I do think, I mean, I know that you guys are very focused as well, you should be, on the dominion of WBAI. But appreciate that the power dynamic has changed within the network in that we set the people that were coming out of BAI and the people that were, you know, whether it be Reggie and Keziah and all the people that helped us make it happen, that convention coverage was something that we did and in process made all kinds of new friends and networked the affiliates. And I think raised our profile in a positive way. Were the things we could have done better? Yes. But it was something that we got in partnership with low-power FM stations in important communities. And those relationships are, I mean, really trying to revive this network. I mean, the problem is, to longtime veterans, the departure of Democracy Now!, which was really great for Amy and Juan, and I'm glad they did it. I've been on the show, was on the show during the RNC. But structurally, Pacifica and BI had a hard time recovering from that departure. And this is an effort to try to rebuild it since then.
Okay, James, is that it from you?
Yeah, one final thing.
Okay.
Arpo, and I appreciate your indulgence. Bob, are you still with us? It sounded like you might have dropped out there.
No, I just went on mute, so we don't have that problem again.
Got it. Okay. It has to do with when you get donations for certain kinds of programming. For example, the $50,000 that was for convention coverage. It's my understanding that was spread out among the stations. It was spread out among some of the affiliate stations, the low power stations, perhaps. Maybe like $5,000 of it went to WBAI, and that was mostly for travel and accommodations at the conventions. And correct me if I'm wrong about any of that, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you have that kind of fundraising coming in and it's geared toward a specific kind of programming, it's not covering your basic operating expenses, your day-to-day operating expenses. So is there a way that we can structure these donations coming in so that if they're for a particular show, they can also support that portion of the day's expenses that are involved with that show, for example, for the board ops, for the, you know, electricity costs, the tower costs, etc.? Could we possibly distribute it that way so we then don't only cover salaries for personalities or for employees, or for outside entities outside of WBA, but also cover WBI's operational costs?
So that's a very, it's a complicated question, but it's also important to understand that there's another, I would say easily, I was able to raise, like, there's another $40,000 to $50,000 that I was able to pull together prior to being in this position that went to Pacifica, prior to me being in this position where I was representing the station. And so that's another thing that you need to know about sorting out. I mean, this is the problem, right? If we can continue to attract money and create national projects that draw in money, then, and all we're doing is producing radio, and we're not having to send out premiums, I see a potential for daylight. Your point's well taken. Like, I believe that it's time to retire this whole question of central services, because I am right now the most significant fundraiser for the entire Pacifica network. That's a fact. They are in a position where they are not getting 50,000 grants from anywhere. They haven't had a CPB grant because of the point that Mr. R. Paul Martin brought out so succinctly about audits. So I'm the only game in town right now. And so I would like to continue that. And I think your point's well taken that we have to find a way so that that central services fee, I mean, if we're bringing in this kind of money to Pacifica, that's an old architecture that shouldn't exist anymore. I mean, that's the point I'm going into negotiations with now.
And in the alternative, could we get credit for central services for some of that money?
Well, that Jim, that's a good point. That's certainly in the mix. But I do believe, like, when I'm on the general manager call and we're talking to KPFK and other places like where SAG-AFTRA is, and when I hear them saying, well, there's no labor money, or if I get a hard time from, like, why are you going after this union money, or it's impossible to get, that's not true. It is. And so I'm really feeling like that is the idea of a credit. That's one way to go. But there has to be this kind of, like I said, recognition for the fact that we're rainmaking right now, and it can continue. And it's because we have credibility, we have programming that we can show that we did in short order on the shoestring. And so that was one of the things now with the mayor. There's a pool of $500,000 that's unrestricted funds that is that's available for this internship program that we'll have to share, and we're in the running for that. There's also the PSA money that we had started. We got a little taste of that. We're very fortunate that Keziah has a background with her community board, with CERT and disaster preparedness. We have an audience that people want to reach, particularly in the community related to emergency services and in terms of people being aware with what's happening with the weather. So we're just starting here. But like I say, let's just keep talking. I mean, because there's ways that we can try to dedicate this money. For instance, I just had a situation with John Samuelson where he committed $20,000, and then I said, well, it's during pledge drive, so we earmarked $2,500 specifically for BAI. So I will try to do that where I can.
Okay. Now, Joan DiLorenzo is next, but let me do a couple of pieces of business here first. And first I'll mention, we're talking about the money going here, the money going there, and it's all together. Well, maybe at some point we'll dig out an income statement from 2019, and you can look at where Pacifica got this nice piece of six figures in July of that year. And, you know, it's very nice for Pacifica. However, that was BAI. That was a BAI bequest. And so if I don't want to use the word piracy here, but stuff gets taken away. The previous general manager calculated that WBAI had about $700,000 in stuff that was coming to BAI that just managed to be in Pacifica, and gee, Pacifica has no idea where it came from, but it's for Pacifica, that's it, has nothing to do with BAI. So that's sort of what you're going to, I guess, run into at some point. The other...
Mr. R. Paul Martin, may I please say something now?
Go ahead.
When you're the person that has raised the money, and then you say, here it is, have a nice day, what are we going to do with it? That's a different conversation.
Well, I hope that works out. You're dealing with Pacific people. Well, let's not get into my cynicism here. Anyway, another piece of business I have to do. I have to do this right now. I'm sorry, people. And Joan, we'll get to you right away. I have to do this. First of all, is Carolyn Burden here? Don't hear anything. Is Denise Joyce here? Carolyn McIntyre checked in. Is Allie Murphy here? Is Berthold Reimers here? Is Serene Roberts here? Okay,
I am, and I'd like to get on the stack.
All right, you are here. And I have to make an announcement, and the announcement is... The announcement is here. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI LSB that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anyone here who wants to become a member or wants to give me their name right now? Okay, I hear none. All right, I'll put Serene Roberts' name on the stack here. And the next person is Joan DiLorenzo. Joan DiLorenzo, you have
1 more minute left, and then you have to spin in out of it. So you have
all right, does anybody want to make a motion to extend?
We extend 10 minutes now.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, extend.
Move to how many people are on the staff? Point of information.
A number of people. We have four. We have four people on the stack right now.
I move that we extend for half an hour. One person took like 15 minutes.
Oh my God.
Okay. Jack, do you want to accept? Does anybody, Jack? First of all, do you want to accept?
Let's change that to 20 minutes. I believe the truth is that this is the hour that we talked about before, and we're getting information and we're getting good conversation about this information. I say we should do a half hour. I don't know how many people are going to object.
Oh, she just said half an hour. So you want to do half an hour?
Yeah, why not? Why not? We have a half an hour.
Okay. Does anybody object? We're not voting yet. To the motion being to extend by 30 minutes. Okay, now that motion is on the floor. The motion is to extend the time for this item by 30 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, that motion is extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 20:35. Joan DiLorenzo, you have this floor.
Thank you for getting rid of the echo. Very interesting dialogue, and I have a few questions, so I'll try to do them quickly. You said Leonard Lopate is coming back on Sunday. Is he going to be paid? And my next question is, I found it very interesting what Ms. Glow is doing with the newsroom thing and all. But I had some, I was hearing some producers seem to be some confusion on the FCC rulings about, like, I'm not going back to premiums and all, but what about if you want to give like, of your show that you have, like, David Rothenberg has CDs, and I know Max has he puts them on the drive, all the old radio shows, but they seem to think that that's not going to be allowed anymore. And I think that those are really like good gifts that people would like. And the other thing is, I have some places and organizations that I want to reach out to bring more diversity into the station, and I'm wondering how I go about that. If I go and tell them I'm with BAI, they're not going to know, like, who I am. Do I give them your name, the scroll, or your telephone number to call? Or how do I work that out? Thank you.
Desire, do you want to go and grab some and I'll...
Yeah. So what you can do is, what I would say is use the PD at WBAI, and I was locked out of that account, so I'm back in it now. And I was locked out of it, and I've been using Keziah at WBAI. What you can do is have them write in the subject line, you know, as per referred by Jones, so that I'll know that it's you. And then what we can also do is you and I can actually have a conversation about it offline to get more to go further in detail. So I think that would actually be better. So in that case, you can actually email me. It's my first name, which is Keziah, K-E-Z-I-A-H,
thank you,
at WBAI. So it's Z like zebra, I like India, A like alpha, H like hotel, at WBAI. So you email me, and then we'll figure out a strategic plan, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, thank you.
Now on the issue of Leonard Lopate, he is receiving $175 per episode, which is what the after scale is that's required. And so, and also it is contemplated, and we're working on that he will have sustaining sponsorships alongside that. There was and I can't get into personal matters, but we needed to make a settlement because we were in straight up violation of the way we terminated him.
Thank you. And the thing about the giving the CDs.
Oh yes.
Gift.
So yes. Thank you. So listen, I want to give so much credit to all of the producers. I mean, across the network, close to 7,800 producers took the course. And it's, you know, it's time of your life and appreciate it. So what it is, you can have incidental gifts. You can certainly, and by the way, David Rothenberg and I and Keziah, we've been on his show. He's wonderful. He is a great resource. We work very closely with him. We've managed to navigate the question of making sure that wonderful fundraiser he does has stayed intact. And we've done it within the compliance of the FCC guidance. And so it is possible to do that. What we can't do is merchandise. And so we're working now with each producer to find a way that we can, I'll give you an example, Radio Free Aaron, a great program. They have this relationship with QED Comedy Club. It's a wonderful connection. And because of the fact that it's a commercial enterprise and that they do such a good job connecting with them, all we had to do was have that acknowledged and disclosed that Mr. McDonough has this regular occurring gig there, and we conclude the date and even give them a reference point as to when and where the event is. This is all doable. The other example would be thematic programming. We are working on we've received, I think it'll be around $7,000 while it's done, of support. We're doing a special programming on Sunday, this coming Sunday, which is, there's a young filmmaker, Bridget Gormley, who has made a film called Dust, which chronicles the circumstance of all the people that lived in Lower Manhattan and Brooklyn after 9/11. And during the making of the film, she documented the passing of her father firefighter, a beloved firefighter, William Gormley. She captured what happened in their family, and then she happened to meet Nyla Nordstrom. If you listen to her air, you know she was a senior at Stuyvesant High School, and these two young women connected and tried to make sense of what had happened to all these people. And so we're going to be talking about the untold female story about what happened with 9/11 World Trade Center folks, and because there was a bias in that first responders automatically got annual screening, and survivors, and that includes people in the civil service who are working at jobs where they were ordered to their desk, there was no Zoom back then, they're considered survivors, and they only got screened if they showed symptoms, and as a result, because the population of uniformed survivors, first responders, was 96% male, they missed a generation of female cancers that just last year were certified. So that's another thing that we're trying to do is, when we have a story to tell that's unique and authentic, to make sure that we use it as an opportunity and a platform, and there's money out there to support it. So that's just wanted to give you one example of the way you can work programming in to sustaining sponsorships.
Okay. Joan, are you done?
Yeah, I guess I just didn't, well, David Rosenberg did a lot of interviews over the years with a lot of people, and he made them on CDs, but he said he don't know if he can give them anymore.
We've worked that out with him. We've worked that out.
Oh.
We've worked it out. He can do it.
Max also was saying he wouldn't be able to give his old-time radio drives anymore.
So here's the complication there. I have had a conversation with him, and Max is we're working right now with Max about this. There's a question of the copyright issues of, like, Gene Shepard. He did have a conversation back in the day, and we're trying to work through that with him because it is a worthwhile resource.
Right, right. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, the next person is Michael D.D. White.
Yeah. So back when we were talking about getting a budget together, the availability of budget figures, when we would see them, Bob, you made a reference to I'll be talking to the people that I report to, and then information will be provided. That was in response to our request for information. I'm not really sure, what the phrase "the people I report to" means. Obviously, what's important is what it means to you. So maybe you could elucidate for us who you consider you report to, and when we're having conversations that also include phrases like there are changes in the power dynamics of the network. I think it's important for us to understand what these referred to chain of commands are.
So it's very simple. The executive director is Stephanie Wells, by whom appointment I enjoy this office. That is the sole person that I am reporting to. As far as the changing dynamic, I would say that if an individual programmer begins to say to Pacifica, to the executive director, I don't know, I've lost count of how much money I've brought in. And so there's a change in dynamic because I'm not in a situation where BAI is perceived as some laggard, but someone that has a long tradition with the station is actively going out and raising money for that station. That is a different situation than in one where we're trying to tread water on this. And by the way, I mean, I do think that we haven't really talked enough about, while aside from the FCC, I just came across what happened in that period of time at the beginning of the year when Gary Noel basically kind of divorced us. I found that show and basically went on the air and said he was not doing business with us anymore and went through the same old thing. I don't think that it's fully appreciated how much reputational damage was done by being so singularly reliant, irrespective of the important stuff that Gary Noel provided and the great relief he's brought many people. But as a business enterprise, to be that singularly reliant on someone with whom you've had such a difficult relationship, that was, that aside from the fact that it was ran afoul of the FCC, was fiscally disastrous because we were using the float and never satisfied the underlying bills that we were running up at the same time. So when I say power dynamic, the money that we're bringing in, this new money that we're bringing in, is doesn't require anything but that we produce radio. And that's a different dynamic.
So if I may follow up on that.
Go ahead.
So You know, I appreciate the fact that you're here talking to this committee at this time. Although, you know, I heard the committee asking for budget information, and I heard the answer. But the Pacifica bylaws are sort of like the United States Constitution in that they incorporate checks and balances and a distribution of power and authority. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is that your chain of command, the people you report to, don't include the local station board, don't include the this committee as a committee of the local station board, etc. So I think you're saying you're not really paying attention to that distribution of power or those checks and balances.
Is that a question or is that a statement?
I think you're saying that, and I'm asked you to correct me if I'm wrong.
So I guess the thing is here, as a practical legal reality, you can't fire me today, Mr. White, as much as you might like to do that. Am I correct in understanding that?
Here we go back into that attack mode.
There's been a challenge, and you're asking me, because you set up a very important paradigm. You said to me it's like the Constitution, and you shared your understanding of what the power dynamic is. So I'm just trying to query that to understand what you think is exactly your legal power and capability in this situation.
I don't leap to conclusions. I do evaluations. I'm just one member of the Management Evaluation Committee. And we're supposed to approach that with a open mind and gather information. I think it's somewhat disrespectful of you to suggest that I've made up my mind without any information.
Oh, no. I asked you. That was not what I said, sir.
And I'm pointing out that you're, where there was an interruption in the information flow that was requested of you here. So to suggest that I'm going to make up my mind without any information, I think
that's not what I asked. You asked me a question.
You're avoiding the question by.
Point of order.
Yeah, I know. We've got people going back and forth. Let's not go back and forth, folks. It becomes out of order.
Mr. White, you laid out a constitutional imperative. You said to me, the power structure is this, and so I was trying to make sure that we have the same understanding of the power structure. That's all. I didn't say you'd reached a judgment. I was trying to get a sense of your sense of what the scope and duties and power of your office are. That's all. That was an innocent, open question.
So you're answering a question with a question. I asked you.
I will tell you directly.
Of who you are accountable to. And
I'm accountable to the executive director of Pacifica. I answered that. Asked and answered.
Okay.
Part of information,
okay.
Paul.
Michael, I think the interim general manager has made his position kind of clear. Right?
I'm on this call clearly because I would want to give you any information I have in total transparency.
We're glad of that, yes. Okay.
Yes.
So, Michael, do you have any... James Sagerton, you have a point of information or a point of order or something?
I have a question, yes. Is it not the case that the... LSB has the right to initiate the termination of a general manager, and that then goes to the executive director, or vice versa, the executive director can initiate a termination, and it then goes to the LSB to see if there's agreement. And then if there's agreement, that course of action is taken. So, and then there's also the matter of the director.
Yes, that is true, and we don't need to go over to bylaws just at this point in time. Why don't we, you know, not get into that sort of thing just right now? I think it's not necessarily going to be helpful for things going forward here, okay?
Right. Well,
so
I
think we don't all agree on things. I think we don't all agree on things, but let's try to, you know, get along a bit, okay?
I was simply asking a question. I was simply asking a question, Art Paul. It's really a yes or no. You know, are there other avenues of responsibility in terms of people's employment other than the executive director? And I think the answer would be yes.
Okay, fine.
But
so you've answered your question.
Please do not try to whoa the chair. Okay,
Michael D.D. White is asking questions, and the interim general manager is answering, and I hope we will not have people going back and forth too much.
Have a point of order.
And just go. So, I think
hello?
The question has been answered of whom Mr. Henley figures he's answering to, and you have and the bylaws have been quoted. So maybe we can move on from that. Michael, do you have any other questions or comments or anything right now?
No, I agree with you that the question was answered.
Okay. All right. The next person on the stack is Carolyn McIntyre.
Thank you. Thank you for everybody who is here tonight. I appreciate the listening and the conversation. So I hear new money coming in, and I continue to be concerned about how big money corrupts organizations like corporations and unions and our major media. And beyond the amount of money that's being raised, there is something so precious that is way beyond the value of that, and that is the free speech, and that is all the premiums, all the voices, with each premium being sent out, speeches for Martin Luther King, all the speeches, all the history of Africa, all the history you can't get anywhere else, premiums that are being shut down with onerous rules and onerous procedures replaced with an organization that's corruptible like a union-based money. I'm sorry, but the value difference is a free speech is beyond the monetary value here. And I please would encourage you to stop pressing the former general manager who kept and protected free speech in this community for 15 years and put up with a lot of difficult people. And he provided transparency and accountability. What we seem to be lacking here is also some transparency. I understand that some of the shows are difficult, harder to get through the archives, but that's something, you know, that can be emailed about. I'm concerned about what I just heard, which was telling and chilling. I report to an executive director. I'm wondering if there's an increasing shift in power that you're referencing of top-down versus being accountable to the local station board, who are all elected, and accountable ultimately to the listeners. So, I think the free speech is incredibly valuable. And Gary Knoll, for all of the dissing of Gary Knoll, and saving lives through providing information that was censored by the major media on the value of vitamin D during COVID, there are major lawsuits I don't know who's, if anybody's reporting on this, that have been brought forth against Google and Facebook for censoring valuable health information that would have saved lives during COVID. And since you mentioned 9/11, yes, that's all wonderful stuff to talk about. But what about talking about the fact that a building fell down that was not even hit by an airplane? I mean, where are we drawing the line on free speech? So I'm giving you some of those things to think about. And I hope that your presence here means that you will hear and take in some of this feedback tonight. Thank you.
Okay.
No clue what that woman is talking about.
All right. The next person on stack is Serene Roberts.
Is it possible to respond to what was said? Or is that
who
is
wants
that fair?
To? Who's that? Oh, are you wanting to respond to it? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that
I
Ms.
Just
Glow?
Like to, yes, it's Kazaya.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. I thank you so much for your statement, and I really do get it. As somebody who has grown up in this fight, I understand what you're saying as far as free speech. But we have to remember two sides to this. For example, when you reference...
Thank you, Kasaya.
No, yeah, but and you're very welcome, and that's the thing. So I don't want to take up too much time, but there's a few parts that we have to remember. When you reference the King's speech, that's the King's family's, that's their legacy. So we have to be very careful as to how we are replicating this information. You know, my sister, she is a professor at Berkeley. She's a jazz musician. Her husband just won a Grammy this year. You know, these are jazz musicians who I saw firsthand playing in the subway when they were in high school. They are now heads of departments at Berkeley. They work at the Kennedy Center. These are really powerful jazz musicians, right? But they worked very hard to get to this point. When I told her that the CDs were being burned, she almost vomited. She said, "That's horrible. They're lucky they weren't sued, because this is people's intellectual property." So we have to remember. Yes, you are absolutely right. I used to drive to college listening to WBAI. It was my inspiration. I did 2 years of college, 4 years of college in 2 years, and I worked for the Department of Education as a paraprofessional, and I went to school until 11 o'clock at night, and I went to school in Dobbs Ferry. And I used to always listen to WBAI because Armand used to inspire me to get my undergraduate degree. And I get, like, really emotional talking about this because this is really my life. And this is real. You're so right. When you hear those speeches, it changes your life. It's like, this really happened. I get it. What Bob and I mentioned was creating a space where we could have some type of shop, right? So, and this is not something I thought of. Please do not barrage us with a bunch of questions to ask us how we would legally do this. But, for example, I work for Fifth Houses. They have Fifth Neighborhoods and Fifth Houses, two separate entities. You can create things. We can create a store. Maybe it would be a separate arm. You know, maybe it could be a for-profit side, something you can create. If we have minds, we can think of it. We can create a store where we sell or we do these things, but we have to do it within a legal structure. We want to keep WBAI on the air. You understand, like, this is not a plan to undermine it, but it's a plan to keep it on the air because of the space that it's in the FM dial is a vulnerable space. So we can't do what we used to do. It's a different world. You know, this is post-COVID. So much of the wealth has gone to the has left the hands of the people who are listening to us. So we have to stay on air, which means we have to follow FCC guidelines. If you don't follow the FCC, you're off. They matter, right? So we have to stop thinking like, oh, the FCC, we're interpreting it. Listen, if you go up against the FCC, now you have the right to have your show, the entire station set off. And now what? So we have to be smart. And when one door closes, a window opens. So that's why we're trying to sit with John Amala to find the right structure for sponsorship, right? How do we do that? And that's what we need to figure out. How can we still offer this information to our listeners, but we got to do something different? And the only way we can do that is we actually sit down and use this type of time to problem solve and to create different ways of doing it. Michael had mentioned YouTube, right? And I said, that's a great idea, but guess what? We need the manpower. We need these interns to be able to do it because their minds think so much faster than ours. You try to set up a YouTube page. Watch how many hours it's going to take you. I bet you they can do it in about an hour. So we have to come up with new solutions in order to stay relevant. I yield the floor. Thank you.
Okay. The chair needs to interject right here. Ms. Glow, when you said burning CDs, did you mean destroying CDs or copying?
No, replicating CDs with a CD burner. That's not something a radio station should ever do. Never.
Well, okay, but let me say this. I have asked about that kind of issue of multiple managements in the past and about licensing of everything, and I have been informed that all the stuff that WBAI duplicates is fully licensed. We're doing it with the permission of the copyright owner. And are you saying we did not?
I am saying that if you do not have the right of the King's family in writing for us to do that, then that is not fair to their family. And if we are going to put out this type of information, we need to make sure that we have...
Yes, that's true. But are you saying that we did not have the permission
I will say it. Our Paul Martin, yes, that's true. We did not have permission. And in many cases, we couldn't even find the actual written permission that was referred to. It was like legacy that was carried over, and there was word of mouth, but it's very loose. There is no documentation. So that's why what programming that has been created, like what Mr. Rothenberg does, there's no problem with that. But when it's other programming, other speeches, other documentaries, there is a problem. I mean, Gary
I understand the issue.
Told me that it was in 2014. Gary Noll specifically told me when I was interim program director that we were duplicating his. This is widely known. I don't know why you guys at the LSB don't believe it. But it has been happening, and we're trying to not happen it now. We're working with Matt to have it be within the guidelines, but that's the reality. It's been a problem.
All right. There was that point there, and they fixed that, I believe. But in general, Gary is sort of inside BAI, but when I was told, I have asked this about the licensing, and was told. So now I'm hearing that the answer I was given was not correct, so I'm bothered by that. Okay, thank you for clarifying that, and the timekeeper has just noted that we have eaten the time. We have, we have Carolyn McIntyre, I think you're done, right? Then we have one more person, so I am going to make a motion. I will make a motion. Yes?
Noel Jameson, can I be added for just one question or comment?
Okay, tell you what. I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion to extend the time for this item by 10 more minutes. And if that passes, then you will be on the list after Serene Roberts. Okay, the motion is to extend time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing
I say to act, Paul.
Okay.
I know 10 minutes may not be enough time for.
Okay, what do you want to make?
I don't need a minute.
Until Mr. Jameson and Ms. Roberts are done.
Oh, no. I really prefer a number. So why don't we make it 10 minutes, and if we have to...
We're coming to the end of the meeting at 9:30, right?
Yes.
Make it 20 minutes.
Now let me look at this agenda here. You know, the only thing after this is new business, which, you know, we don't... Could we just make this a 10-minute thing and see if we can get through it in 10 and if we need to...
It won't be enough
unless,
time, Bob, Paul, but I say yes.
Okay, you want it to be 20. Is that it? All right.
The stack, what I said, but if that's going to take 20 minutes...
Okay, that exhaust the stack crap doesn't work well. We need a minute. We need numbers.
Right, 20 minutes.
So you want 20 minutes. Okay, let's make it your way to extend the time for this item by 20 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it's passed. Mr. Timekeeper, it's 21:07. And Serene Roberts, you have the floor. And Knowles after her.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone. I missed the white Henley dust-up. My battery died. What timing. Anyway, I'll have to catch it on the archive. My question for Bob Henley is with regard to the staff additions. I'm hearing new voices on the morning shows, and I'd like to know if those positions are paid. I know that Isaac is back, apparently, and has become co-host on Tuesday. I heard Jenna Flanagan being co-host with Keziah, filling in for Linda. So at least those two positions. And with regard to the Friday show, Juliana came back almost right away. I'd like to know if she's being paid for right away, meaning right after you showed up in that new position. Is she being paid, and is she also being paid for Sunday?
So she was on the morning show. I'm here. Is that all you have? Mm-hmm. Is that everything?
No,
I just don't want to speak over you. Okay.
No,
she was paid for the drive time, 7 to 8 a.m. I am not paid. Keziah is not paid. And on Wednesday, Linda Sarsour wants to remit it back to the station. And that's what she does. The challenge has been that Linda travels extensively, and we feel her voice is very important. And so we've been working closely with her to try to accommodate that schedule. We do have Felipe has some personal, some bereavement leave and some health issues. So we try to work together to keep that, work with those people to keep those voices And then also, I have reached Joanna Fernandez, and I haven't been able to connect with her because she was also a very important voice. And when I was on Mondays, I was told that she had schedule conflicts, but we're trying to make an effort to connect with her again. And Giuliani is no longer on Sundays. I don't know if you've noticed that. And then she's paid when she's in that slot in the morning, because that is covered work as AFTER defines it in drive time. So people that other than management, they receive $175. That's what the deal is.
Okay, so SAG-AFTRA's rate is up to $175 from, I think it was $125 when you all first started.
No, $125 was not. We were paying another kind of ironic for a union guy to be hit with a multiple grievance. No, it was $175, and we were underpaying it. In fact, many cases not paying it, and then that opened up a whole other can of worms.
What is the selection process for? How are people getting hired? How are people being made aware of, and when I say it doesn't necessarily mean the general public, but at least existing staff, how are they being made aware of these opportunities, money-earning opportunities?
Right. I think the challenge has been we've been trying to hold on to the existing architecture of people, and so it's meant filling in where so that people could hold down their position, but they need relief, like in the case of Linda, right? She's traveling all over the world as a thought leader in this arena. So that's a situation where it's not really a position that you can advertise. And on Friday, we made the decision that Marion Pizzatola and the retirees were an important enough constituency that they needed a program, because there was no place else that was providing a place for these people to express what was a very unpopular position with the most powerful unions in the city.
Okay.
That's my answer. I'm
in my time. Uh-huh. Mariana's not being paid, correct? Just Juliana?
Julianne. Now, Marianne has, in that case, she has been turning it back and volunteering, and she has that opportunity. We're still trying to work out a letter of agreement with
a reset. I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't have a lot of time. So Marianne is being paid for the slot that her organization is buying. You said she's turning it back. So if she's not being paid, how can she turn it back?
What I'm saying is that she is volunteering. She would be eligible to be paid, but she's opted not to get paid.
Okay. The fact that, I'm a big fan of Linda, and I'm grateful that Bertha was able to bring her in. When she's not there and someone is to be paid, how are those opportunities being noticed, advertised, if you will, at least to existing staff? That is my question.
Can I answer that?
Okay.
So can I jump in? So oftentimes we will find out with short notice. And at 4:30 in the morning, we're trying to create a show for that situation. So when it's a short notice like that, it comes off, and it comes off without a hitch, and it sounds really great. But sometimes there's not enough notice to get it out to everyone else. So we've been kind of working.
Thank you. Okay, reclaiming my time. You can say to people, who wants to be on standby to fill in for Linda? Here's the kind of thing that she normally does in that slot. You can say to Linda, I know sometimes you get a call because a family needs support on Wednesday and nobody calls you until Tuesday evening. I get that. But
right.
I'm saying there has to be a process. You're finding someone to pay. The question is, why aren't you making that opportunity available to at least existing staff or asking Linda to curate a bunch of backups?
So to answer your question, and this is a great question, we're literally in the process of doing that. And so I had a meeting.
Right, but you said doing that, and I raised two things. So which one are you referring to?
So let me answer, and you will hear. I had a meeting scheduled with Linda today, and we were going to discuss how we can create a schedule and find out when she's not going to be there and a proper time of how we'll maneuver for her traveling schedule. The last few times, and this is the space where I need everyone on the call to find their humanity and become human. So with everything that we just said, if you were to get a call and you found out that you had to produce a show that has to come on at 7 a.m. and it has to go on without a hitch, at that point, we didn't have a setup for Linda because it was kind of like, okay, we got to get this done. As that the same way when there was an engineer who couldn't cover the boards, right? And it was 5:00 in the morning, it's his shift, and I had to step in. And that's the reason why I was absent from one of the LSB meetings, because I covered a 5 a.m. shift and then I did my job after that. So by 7 p.m., I was done and I totally couldn't remember. So what I'm saying is, right now, we are creating these structures. I have been on this job for a month. So what you're saying, literally, today, I had a meeting with Linda scheduled. She didn't keep the meeting. So I have to now find her and then find another way to work these things out. And that's the part where we need you guys.
Okay, thank you. Reclaiming my time,
like
please. I've waited a long time. Thank you. Thank you for your response. Okay, what is the process for programming? Because there are, quote, I think somebody said something about seven programs in the can. So I'm not aware of seven empty slots, so other things must be moving. And there's quite a bit of repetition built into the schedule. But what is the process for how things are getting on the air? How do people even send in proposals? Because I noticed that section of the website that used to exist, you used to be able to click here to submit a program proposal, but that was deactivated the last time I saw it.
Okay, so anything that you've seen on the website that was deactivated is
has been done before Bob and I were there, because we haven't deactivated anything on the website. So
it exists.
We
have not. I referred people to it before, and it did not exist.
Maybe you existed. Maybe you referred them. Right,
okay.
But maybe you referred them prior to us getting here, but we have not, and I'm telling you what's actually happening. It's your choice if you want to understand or not. We have not deactivated anything on the website.
I understand it, but you're also telling me that I didn't see what I saw, so that only goes but so far. So,
right.
Bob, I have
so
a question.
What I'm,
so my question,
what I'm
my
saying,
question to Bob, my question
can
to
I answer
Bob,
the question?
Reclaiming
wait, wait.
My...
Serene Roberts,
sorry,
why don't you let her answer? Okay.
Yeah,
because she already answered.
So I know
so
what
this
I
is the thing.
I didn't answer you. You asked,
okay, if
you
she could give me a short answer, that would be good for everybody.
Sure.
So let's let Ms. Glow go.
Thank you. So one
sure.
thing I would like to say is there needs to be some respect here, because if there's no respect, I cannot be on the part of this call, because I'm not disrespecting you. So what I am saying to you is we have not deactivated anything on the website. And as far as new shows, what we are doing, and I said this before, we went through and did a triage. So new shows that have been presented to us, we have taken into consideration what's missing from the actual schedule. We know that Gary Noel was a big health pull, so we said, hey, we should have some type of health shows. I went to the existing health shows to see if they were interested in either having those discussions, how would we pull this information in? I'm willing, if you would like to have a more extended conversation, because I know we're at a loss for time, to have these conversations with you. And I do ask for respect, because I am giving respect, and I accept nothing less. Thank you.
Bob, my question is with regard to the hiring of a development director, which has been, you know, a long-standing need. The idea that producers, I think producers should not take their programs for granted. I don't think they should take the fact that they're on air as something that they, quote, deserve. I think you should always be very aggressive about promoting your program and increasing your audience and, you know, doing the upcoming thing and going and filling stuff in the archives. Sometimes I go looking, I have to listen for 3 weeks to figure out where I heard what, you know. So I'm saying producers should step up in certain areas. Some people are very good at some things, others not so. But I don't think producers really need to be out there chasing the money. I'd like to see a development person in place. And what is the plan for hiring that, since there seems to be money for other things?
So I think at this point what we're doing is both of us are playing a role, both in terms of attracting institutional money, and right now we're going to have to work within that framework. I don't think that there's, I mean, we're actually down something as basic as an engineer. And the station itself, thank God that Keziah is a qualified engineer, because we cut this institution so much to the bone that we have an incidental workforce. So I don't think that, to be honest with you, I don't think that development director, unless we were able to apply, and maybe it's a possibility, we can confer about this offline, maybe it's a way of having that funding position supported by a nonprofit. That's certainly something we could, an entity that would pay an aligned, progressive nonprofit on a national level that would second a development director. I'm open to that conversation.
I think it's Noel's turn. I think we're almost out of time. How much time is left, Alcohol? Or
Noel, we're almost done. Noel,
yes.
I think you're up. Go
Noel's
ahead.
Almost done. I mean, I still have a question, but I'd like Noel to speak. How much time is left?
Okay, well, Mr. Timekeeper, how much time is left by you? Oh, Mr. Timekeeper, did we lose you? Okay, we started at 21:07. Okay. We have 6 minutes, according to me.
Okay.
Okay, can I let Noel speak?
You have nine more minutes.
I have another question.
All right. Arpal, you have nine more minutes.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to let Noel go now, I think, right?
And come back with my question.
Are you done? You want another question?
No, I'm not done, but I'd like Noel to get his question in, and then I'll come back.
Noel, why don't you go ahead right now?
All right. I'll make this short and sweet. Mr. Henley, my name's Noel Jameson. I've been on the Finance Committee, or at least associated with WBAI, for nearly 20 years. And I just want to say thank you for your efforts. Thank you for the efforts of your team. It has been encouraging to see what has been taking place. I'm hoping that the rest of the organization will follow suit in terms of diversifying so that we are not solely dependent upon the labor movement for income, but I understand why we're doing what we're doing, and given the fact that we've been in literally financial straits for quite a bit of time, this was needed and welcome. And again, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Serene Roberts, you have another final question, probably?
I have a question for Mr. Henley. What was the process by which the interim program director was hired? Where was that? How was that job availability made known to the existing staff?
So it came to my attention. Can I disclose the personnel matter related to how you came to our attention?
Sure.
So one of the problems is that we had serious labor issues all over the place. And so in the process of when I was doing the fundraising for Pacifica prior to being made someone that is responsible for the station right now, it came to my attention that station management was in the process of laying off both Keziah and Mr. Lopez. And so having become familiar with Keziah's considerable talent and skill and long history with WCHR and multiple qualifications, including a deep knowledge of community boards, certs, and the civil service, and I realized that we were, I guess, at some point, she was the executive producer of Mr. Lopate's program 5 days a week. And that was, and she was paid, can I disclose that?
Sure.
Okay. $2,000 a month for working like over the top. And it was a violation not only of labor law, but a violation of the contract. And so when there was a discussion about what to do, I expressed my concern with Stephanie Wells that Keziah was a singular generational talent. And that we needed to make sure that we could do what we could do to retain her. I stand by that judgment now, and that's how she came to be in her current position.
Okay, thanks. I want to request that you both submit your, what's the proper word to use here? Send your resumes to the LSB if you want that information to be held confidentially. Of course, that can happen. The LSB, under the normal course of events, would have created the hiring pool from which a general manager was hired by the executive director and would have created the hiring pool from which a program director was then hired by the general manager. And due to the actions of the Pacifica National Board, and in this case, you, with regard to the IPD hire, the LSB has been cut out, but we should know who's running the station and understand the background and the level of expertise that you are both bringing to your positions. So I would like to make that request.
So, except there's one thing. I'm not interested in the full-time appointment, so...
That's fine. We're not asking you to submit your resume for the search. You can do that if and when you want to.
I'm not interested in being in your search. How about that? I'm not. So I'm here for the interim.
That's fine. We just want to know now, or speaking as an LSB and PND member, I would certainly like to know, and I gather others on the board would also be interested in understanding more about the people who are now running the station.
Okay.
So that is my request.
Wait, we have, by my clock, we've
like
hit the 20 minutes.
I'd like to get a response from the GM and the ITD and the IGM. No, he just said he didn't want the permanent job.
So
okay.
I'd be glad to submit. It's a matter. There's no problem with me submitting my, you know, I don't know to what end, but I'd be glad to do that. So it's not, didn't graduate college, went to Ramapo College. What questions do you have about me? What is it? I was at WNYC.
Okay. Right now,
I mean,
we're getting into Adam, something that's,
okay.
Hold on.
I understand, but it's like,
this is not the personnel committee. We should not be getting this far into personnel questions.
Very good.
And time is up. And so we're at new business at this point, and I need to ask, is Denise Joyce here? Is Allie Murphy here? Is Bertold Reimers here? Is Carolyn Burton here? Okay, none of those people are here and haven't been here for the whole meeting. All right, this is new business. Anybody have any new business or want to just go or what?
Paul, you have two more minutes.
Can I say something, Art Paul?
1 second. Art Paul, you have 2 more minutes until the meeting.
Yeah, I know.
No. Thank you.
Okay, Jack DePalma, you wanted to do something?
Yeah, well, it's only going to take 30 seconds to make an observation.
Go ahead.
Some people make observations and then they repeat them again. I believe that I thought tonight would be a good opportunity to look at those numbers and to, you know, at least review or decide. I believe I understood some of the numbers that were sent, and I really appreciate the way this went tonight because it was really very informative and very very useful. And I concur with what was said that we probably did need a serious reevaluation of what was going on. And thank you, Bob. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Thank you very much for, you know, putting up with some of the behavior some people on this committee have.
Thank you, Mr.
Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you.
All right. I think we're just about done. Is there any objection? Is there any objection to us adjourning at this point in time? We have seconds left.
When's the next meeting? Has the new meeting been set?
The 18th.
Right. Did I miss that?
2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Okay.
Public comment.
Who's this?
Public comment.
No. Public comment occurs. That most of the people here are public. We don't have a separate
public
comment
public
on this. Who's this?
This is Nancy Sybar, Nadi Tomi from KPFT. I have a public comment. May I?
Well, okay. It's 9:30.
Yes. It'll be very short. Very
Make it,
short.
Yeah, very short. We'll live with, but then we got to go.
Yeah, if you'll stop speaking, I can get it out faster. In KPFT, you know, we've been the really tiny, tiny station, and really the first several years we could not make our budget. So because of the generosity of BAI and KPFK and KPFA to the tune of $500,000, we survived and we are alive today. So I have to say thank you. And don't let anybody forget this. This was reported by Raul Salvador, the CFO, in 2014. Now, I'd like to say something. We never paid our board ops. Every single show had to have a volunteer board op. And it worked out really well because if the next show was late, the board op from the previous show would stay a little later. So it was safety. And also, the one program show, you know, just one person, they had to do the cooking and the serving. I just want to let y'all know that. Thank you. Back to you.
Yeah, we used to do that, too. That used to be a rule with BAI. But time is absolutely up now. So time is up.
Apple.
Bertold, is that you?
Yes. I've been here from the beginning.
You were here from the beginning. And you didn't respond once. That's very good. All right. The time for this meeting is up. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend, we're going to adjourn.
Well,
hearing no such motion.
Did Berthold want to speak? I'd like to make a motion if Berthold wanted to speak.
Oh, are you going to make a motion?
Did you want to speak, Bertha?
All right, I'm not going to go back and forth.
Spend for 5 minutes.
Are you? Oh, okay.
Spend for 5 minutes.
Okay. You want to extend for 5 minutes? I'm going to oppose that. We should go. Okay. The most is to extend the time for this meeting by 5 minutes. And we're going to go to a vote on that. So, and here we go. It requires a two-thirds vote. The motion is to extend by 5 minutes. Joan DeLorenzo, how do you vote? I don't hear anything. Jack DePalma.
I'll pass for now.
Martin Flynn. Noel Jameson.
Abstain.
Denise Joyce. R. Paul Martin, no. Matt Mazza. Marilyn McIntyre.
No, and thank you.
Well, let's see. Okay, I'm looking here, and I'm not sure if we have a quorum. But okay, that was a no from McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Yes.
Ali Murphy. Bertold Reimers.
You got to be kidding me.
Bertold? Okay, not answering. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton.
James Sagerton.
I think people have left. Jeffrey Stern.
No.
Michael D.D. White.
I don't know if you heard me.
No.
You passed. You passed. Okay. Michael D.D. White.
No. Michael D.D. White, no.
M.K. Williams.
No.
Okay. Joan DeLorenzo.
I'm
Jack DePalma.
What are we voting on?
To extend 5 minutes.
I'm an extension, Joan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Jack will say no, Paul. I think that makes
sense. Okay, Jack DePalma, no. Martin Flynn? No reply. Denise Joyce? Matt Mazza? Ali Murphy? Bertold Reimers?
Pass.
No, you can't pass. Vote one way or another.
Meeting.
Bertold? Come on.
Abstain.
Okay. James Sagerton.
I thought he wasn't here. Now he's here, but he's abstaining. So I'm going to abstain as well.
All right. Okay. 3-4, 6 against, 3 abstentions, motion fails, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you, interim management, for showing up here tonight, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk to each other about over the coming months. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.